All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? Do you guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars?
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, a t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Me again? You're doing it again. Throwing the format off. All right, this is episode 6 of Geek Stuff, The Undiscovered Country. Aw, what's the matter?
I don't feel good.
Baby, suck it up.
You're going to have to deal with my voice being like this the whole time.
I've dealt with you much more annoying than your voice. I don't know what that meant.
That meant edit here.
No, it didn't. Keep it in. So what's going on this week? What do we got going on?
Well, I think the first thing we have to say is that, unfortunately, we lost Mr. Fantastic to brain cancer this week.
It's true.
And I think it's too bad because he was really starting to come around. He had a little lapse last week with the whole counting us off thing, you know, and having a mic.
Right.
But I thought, you know, brain cancer aside, that he was coming along very nicely.
I thought so, too. I didn't expect to lose him.
That's just too bad.
It's really a shame.
Yep.
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I'm alive.
All right. Oh,
good to know. Apparently, my information on that topic was incorrect. No. We'll just edit it down so it, you know, he comes in at the appropriate time.
I don't want to edit it down.
You don't do any of the editing.
Right. So anyway, let's get right into this week's corrections. We do have a single correction this week.
Oh, baby.
That's nothing to do with
I'm doing Barry White. All right. Tonight on Barry White's Geek Stuff. Oh,
you know Barry White's
baby.
Dead, right?
Barry White's Geek Stuff from beyond the grave.
You're following in his footsteps.
Oh, baby.
Anyway, the correction that
Can't
we have
get
tonight.
Enough of your love. Can't get enough of your love, baby.
Can we move on now?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. So the correction that we have this week would be on the Tonner Harry Potter line, actually. I got a quick email correcting the scale.
Ooh.
I think if you remember when we were talking about the scale, neither of us were entirely sure how tall they were.
We probably could have really simplified that by taking out a measuring tape and measuring them, being that he was standing 2 feet away from him.
Right, but being as we're terribly lazy, we didn't do that so much.
Well, thankfully, a listener is apparently not lazy.
Right.
Or a couple of listeners, as right. the case may be.
But it turns out that the scale on these things is not 13 inches like we had said. They're actually 17 inches. So.
Uh-huh.
So there's that.
There we go.
An extra 4 inches of Harry Potter.
I'm sure glad we stopped to make that correction.
Hey, you know what? Someone sent us the email. I felt that we should address it.
Well, you're right. We want to be as accurate as possible
sure.
here. So, okay, good. So sure. that's good information, Matt.
Sure.
Let's spring right into the news.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to start off for you tonight.
Oh,
I'm going to hand you a little picture, and I want you to take a look at it.
All right,
what's
the picture?
It's going to spark off our new segment.
Mr. Fantastic, hand me the picture.
So that...
Oh, fuck you.
That is the latest picture floating around the internet right now. It's being called Jedi Spidey.
I think what it's called is Photoshop.
Yeah, right. It's actually Spider-Man in what looks like the black costume yet again. And he's wearing some sort of cloak because he's on set. It looks like it's in between scenes, in between cuts.
Uh-huh.
And
they're trying to keep him covered up, I guess.
Sure. Now, as to the authenticity of that picture, it hasn't been verified one way or the other, but that is the latest black costume Spider-Man, Jedi Spidey, floating around the website.
I am a little flabbergasted that they've decided to take this route if this is indeed an authentic photograph. But, well, what can you do? I guess we'll just have to wait and see next year. We have a whole year to wait for this movie.
And the way it's going, it looks like we're going to see a new image of him in the black costume pretty much every week. Until it's proven wrong or proven right, there's probably going to be at least one Photoshop or real image a week, would be my guess.
I can't wait to see him whip out his spider saber.
Yeah, right.
And use his Spidey force to defeat Sandman and whoever the hell else the other villain is.
We can give him a Master Replica's double-edged Darth Maul saber.
Ooh, that would actually be pretty cool looking.
So we're going to move on from that.
Yes, well, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on from this one right now.
I'm just trying to present what's out
no,
there.
No, it's you know exactly why you presented it.
Uh-huh. All right. Moving along then, staying along with the comic book movies, it also looks like we're going to get to see a long X-Men 3 trailer, a 7-minute trailer.
Ooh.
It's going to air on TV. Uh-huh. On, I believe it's May 11th, sometime during the showing of the final episode of that 70s show.
And this will be a 7-minute trailer?
They're saying it's a 7-minute trailer. Now, whether it's 7 consecutive minutes of the movie or it's some sort of 7-minute montage, you know, there's no definite information out there yet.
Okay.
I'd have to say montage probably, but it might be, it might not. It might be a snip. I don't know.
Hmm. A little scary.
But that's only, what's that, about 2 weeks before the movie opens? So.
Thereabouts, yeah.
So I guess they're just trying to...
No, isn't it May 19th, that movie? Or is that...
No,
Da Vinci
I thought it was
Code.
Memorial Day weekend was...
Da Vinci Code, May 19th?
Da Vinci Code, I think, is May 19th. Mm. I think X-Men is Memorial Day weekend.
Do you know we're hosting Midnight Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, actually, it does. I was speaking to Frank from the theater the other day, mm-hmm. and he said they're definitely doing the midnight show. So.
And we're also hosting Midnight X-Men.
Yeah, he said they weren't 100% sure if that was happening yet, though.
Oh, yeah?
So we'll have to wait on that one. But we'll tell you more about the hosting as we get closer.
You were over at the theater?
No, I wasn't over at the theater. They come to visit me.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting.
Right. So, anyway. So that's the X-Men news this week.
Okay.
What do you got for us? Anything?
I have, today, as we know, is Wednesday. When we tape the show, is New Comic Book Day.
Right.
And a couple things about comic books this week are very important. This upcoming Saturday, you want to find your local comic retailer, and chances are they're going to be participating in Free Comic Book Day. Saturday, May 6, 2006 is Free Comic Book Day. You can check out freecomicbookday.com for more information. And this is an industry-wide event. Most companies take part in it by producing a small book like an X-Men title or produce some sort of book that retailers can give away.
Right.
So the retailers will have a variety of these books on hand, and you walk in and hey, you walk out with some free comics, generates interest. It's a great idea. I think this is the third or fourth year of this event. I think it's a great event. Anything that, you know, shines some light on the comic industry and gets more people involved, I think that's a good thing.
Sure. Have they listed or have they announced any of the individual titles that are coming out?
I'm
I know
sure
sometimes
they
announce it a little early.
I think if you go to freecomicbookday.com, they might have some of those announcements there.
Oh, perfect.
Or at least what books you should be looking for.
Right.
To be available from your local retailer.
Okay. Great.
So...
What else you got for us? Anything?
Actually, another little bit of comic book news. Today I purchased the Comic Book Digest. It's a little digest. It's kind of like a preview book. It's nice. It's in color or black and white, depending. And what they do is they present you several pages of art
right.
from a book, several pages of story.
Right.
What they do is they present you several pages of a story, and it looks like this digest is put out by Alias Comics, although I don't know if it's going to cover just Alias from here out. But there's a book I heard about called Revere.
Right.
And we talked about Black Coat last week.
Right.
Being sort of a revolutionary, set in the Revolutionary War era. This, obviously, Revere refers to Paul Revere. So it's yet another Revolutionary War set comic book where it turns out Paul Revere, on his famous ride, they would have us believe that there was more to it than just alerting the colonists about the British arriving. And in fact, in this book, Paul Revere is fighting werewolves.
All right.
And I have to, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking,
sounds ridiculous.
Sounds stupid. But I have to tell you something, and this is in all honesty. I'm looking at the art.
Right.
I have the comic book digest here, and I've looked at all the pages that they have here. It's a good chunk of the story of the first issue. I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed that they put this much of it out. But what I'm more impressed with is the story. It's not just werewolves. It looks more like, it's almost like Paul Revere versus werewolves versus, the Army of Darkness, almost a little bit, the zombie type characters as well.
It's like Paul Revere Van Helsing.
I don't think I would compare it to a piece of shit like Van Helsing, but I'll tell you what, the art is crisp. It's nice. They got Revere looking like, did you see Le Pacte de Loup?
Or, I certainly did.
As it was called in the United States, the Brotherhood of the Wolf. Remember how cool that guy looked in the very beginning of the film with the high collar and the hat and the tricorn hat?
Right.
Well, they're drawing Paul Revere in this book a lot like that. I mean, it's very dark, and I have to say, I'm really looking forward to reading this book.
Who's putting it out?
I think it's Alias.
Although, I think you said that, right? I'm sorry.
Well, Alias put out this book.
Okay.
But it says, famed silversmith Paul Revere has to fight more than redcoats in this reimagining of the American patriot and revolutionary. He must also face an encroaching werewolf menace.
Okay.
So, I have to say that I don't know what it is. There's, you can always get me to read anything with werewolves in it.
Right.
Because, one of my tenets is I like werewolves. So anything involved with werewolves, you can get me to read.
So for those of you keeping track out there now, that would be Imperial Army Builder.
Right.
Joker Collector.
Yes.
And Werewolves.
Werewolf Enthusiast.
Right.
Right.
So that would be things that Kevin hoards.
Right. And apparently, I guess I have a thing for comics set in the Revolutionary time period. Revolutionary War time period.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a great book. It's called Revere. I can't tell you exactly when it's coming out because I couldn't find information on that. But it's got to be coming soon. I'm assuming it's coming from Alias, and you should look for it or ask for it at your local comic book retailer. I think people are going to dig it.
All right.
Unlike my voice, which right. I hate right now.
Right.
More tea.
Moving along, the next thing that that we've been stumbling across, or some of you have probably seen already a little bit online, the Transformers movie that will be coming out. Looks like July of 2007. It's going to be mostly CGI from what I understand, at least the Transformers are. Produced by Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg.
Mm.
And some of the cast has been announced, although Michael Bay has said that for the voices of the Autobots and the Decepticons, it looks like he's going to try and audition some of the original voice actors from the American animated series to do some of the same voices.
Which would actually be right now, as I'm thinking, as what I am what I'm imagining, that is the only redeeming quality of this movie.
I don't know. I'm really interested in it. I'm really interested to see it. I mean, I'm not a huge Transformers fan, but I certainly was a fan growing up. I have a couple of Transformers pieces in my figure collection. So, you know, I'd like to see it. It looks like so far they've attached Shia LaBeouf as the kid. Yeah. For those of you who aren't familiar with Shia, he was in Project Greenlight. I think it was like season two, that, the Battle of Shaker movie. Heights.
Oh, that's right. Battle of Shaker Heights. He was also in Holes.
He was in Holes with John Voight. John Voight, who also looks like he is currently attached to the project as well.
Right. Screen legend, John Voight. Okay.
Right. Along with Michael Clark Duncan.
Of course.
John Turturro. I'm trying to think. There were a couple other names that I had read, but those seem to be some of the bigger ones. Michael Bay has said that one of the biggest changes you're going to notice with the robots is that they're not going to be as blocky as they were in the cartoon. They're going to be a little bit more streamlined because the actual transforming doesn't make sense as blocky as they were, I guess.
Right.
So he's going to tweak that a little bit, but definitely Optimus Prime is going to be in there. Shia, however you pronounce his name's character.
LaBeouf.
His car, the movie's going to involve him starting with a beat up 70s yellow car that is a Transformer, how he's introduced to the Transformer. So one would think then that Bumblebee is going to be a character in the movie as well, which is great because he was my favorite character. And I don't know. We're going to have to follow it pretty close. It looks like it's a July 07 release. So.
Well, why don't you keep us updated on that, Matt?
Since, I will.
Nobody else really gives a shit.
I think that's a load.
Nobody else in this room cares.
I care.
What?
I care.
Great.
See?
You and Fantastic can muse back and forth about the Transformers movie.
Are you kidding me? All the Transformers fans that are out there, they're humming about this.
I'm sure they're humming.
Humming along.
I wonder how they're going to synthesize that sound.
I don't know. From the sound of it, I think they might just use you. Put you in a studio, stick a mic in front of you, and let you do it for a couple hours.
Autobots, transform.
That's not too bad.
It's pretty good.
Stay sick for a little bit
longer.
Yeah,
I know. And you can get the role.
That's right. Sick voice is what it's hinging on.
Decepticons, transform.
Anyway.
The only guy I can't do, I guess, is was Soundwave.
Yeah, or Starscream.
Ravage, eject. I can't do it.
Great. So
Starscream.
I can't do that. Oh, that really hurts.
So Soundwave's retarded is what you're saying.
My question about Soundwave is cassette or CD?
Yeah. Oh. So a CD will pop out and become Ravage? I hope not. Ravage happens to be the only Transformer that I own.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I know where he is, but I'm not 100% sure where he is.
My Gen 1 Bumblebee is proudly displayed on my desk.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
What else you got?
I got one more bit, one last thing. It's only a quick note. It looks like someone is undertaking an Underdog animated feature. Now, whether it's full animation, 2D animation, or 3D animation, I don't know. But it looks like the only exciting part about it that I could see so far is that Jason Lee looks like he's tied to the project to voice Underdog. Which I love anything Jason Lee does, pretty much. So,
well, that's an interesting idea. I wonder if that's actually going to flesh out.
I heard they actually announced who was going to be doing the voice to of
Polly Purebred.
No, the bad guy, Simon
Bar Sinister.
Yeah, Bar Sinister, but I don't remember who it is right now. I didn't.
Polly Purebred.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that was the female interest in that show.
Right. I have a feeling it's probably going to be going into production sometime soon. I think it's going to be similar to how Garfield was done, probably with a combination of CG and live action.
Was it Underdog who had the little ring and he pop open the ring and there'd be a pill inside and he would take the pill and that's how he turned into Underdog?
I don't remember that, but it might be.
These days we just call him Junkie Dog. Probably pop that open, there'll be a Red Bull in it or something.
There you
I don't
go.
Know. I don't know. Well, Jason Lee obviously makes it a...
It makes it worthwhile to me.
Attractive element.
Sure. So we'll have to see. And I think that about wraps up the news segment for today.
Wow.
Do you have anything else?
I can make up some shit.
No, it's all right. What about you, Fantastic? You have anything else?
No, Mr. Fantastic doesn't do the news.
I don't know.
Get me a tea, Fantastic. My throat hurts.
Wow. You're going to take that?
Yep. Watch him. There he is taking it. And I guess with that, we'll take a break while Fantastic prepares my throat-soothing tea.
Ew.
We'll be right back.
Are you still listening? You got something to say? You got a comment about today's podcast? You got an idea to make this crap better? Visit us at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com and let us know.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. Just not enough. Oh, oh, man. Oh, man. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why. Can't get enough of your love, baby.
Yep, that's Barry White. Well, as... this is episode 6, The Undiscovered Country. We wanted to talk about some more independent toy companies that you may not have discovered yet.
Right.
Thus, they are undiscovered.
I see. Clever.
And there's some great stuff being produced out there that is not in the mainstream.
True.
And we have a bunch of examples that we want to touch on really quick. And I'm going to open up right away with something I find terribly creepy. they're called Crypt Kitties. You can check it out at cryptkitties.com.
It's CryptKiddies.com.
Right. And Crypt Kitties, they've been around for a while now. And what they are is, if you can imagine, like, you know, like a baby doll, you know, like one of those regular, what are they, 5 points of articulation, shoulders, hips, neck.
Which you know, are kind of creepy by themselves. But.
Yeah, they're like little baby dolls, like, you know, they're about a foot or so tall. It's what little girls play with.
Right.
Which just doesn't make this any less gay, I guess. But
no.
But what's great about these is what they used to do is they used to take them,
right,
and repaint them.
Okay.
All creepy and shit. Like, for example, the one I have an original, as indicated by his price tag on his arm. His name is Will. He's wearing a Crypt Kitties t-shirt.
Aww.
And he's a little baby doll. And what is awesome about him is that They have inserted teeth into his mouth. They've made teeth, and they are sharp. And they have little fangs, and he has blood around his mouth. And they've repainted his eyeballs. They're like an orange-looking color. And he has horns on his head and little tiny veins that they've highlighted throughout the piece. And just generally speaking, these creepy eyebrows. He's just a creepy little doll. And they're really, I mean, most people I know who have seen little Will here have been completely creeped out by, don't leave him in the room. Right. Don't put him away. I don't want to be in the room with him. You know, he's a creepy guy. And the best part about this is that they obviously were doing very well with them, well enough to go mainstream.
Right.
And what they've done now is they've produced these. You can buy them usually at Spencer's, carries them.
Mm-hmm. Hot Topic, probably.
Those type of stores carry them. I'm sure there's a more complete list on CryptKitties.com mm-hmm. Of where you can purchase them and look at them. But they're now headed into Series 3 of their mass-marketed CryptKitties. And they are just creepy. They're fun as hell, but they're just so creepy.
Yeah, you know, for any of you who have ever been to the chiller conventions over here in Jersey, over by the Meadowlands, they are always, CryptKitties always there, always with the big display up in the main room. And yeah, they I like them, but I don't. they kind of weird me out a little bit.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're great. I mean, I've done a review of I think series 1 and series 2 I reviewed on my website bigkevscriticaltoys.com, or actually in my column Critical Toys, which actually I think those appeared on your website, didn't they, Matt?
They appeared on collectiblebitsbox.com.
Right. So anyway, getting back to the product.
Right.
I think they're great. I think they're and really what we're focusing on here is an independent an artist who has taken their idea, you know, put it out there for people, and then was successful enough with it to actually go into production on some pieces. And that's kind of the independent spirit. And I really applaud the CryptKitties folks for doing that.
I'm taking a look at the site over here, and there's a section that says Proud Parents, which of course is people who happen to own CryptKitties taking pictures they were family pictures
of themselves with
the kids,
their CryptKitties,
like sleeping and
wow,
it's disturbing.
Well, check that out at CryptKitties.com. But let's move on to some of these other ones. Matt, you got one over there that we really enjoy a lot.
So, are you talking about Toxic Teddies? Then?
I am talking about Toxic Teddies.
Yeah, Toxic Teddies, put out by the Super Fun Company, but you can actually go to ToxicTeddies.com. To see the entire line.
TOXICTEDDIES.com.
And they put out, these are little ceramic type or polystone bears. They're probably about four inches in height for the most part. And they're just these cute little teddy bears doing awful things. For example, some of the ones that I have in my personal collection, there's a Smacky, I think his name is, and he's
shooting up.
Yeah, he's shooting up. Uh-huh. And then there's another one that's in like typical like the Gimp outfit type outfit. And those are really great. That's where the line started. I think there's kind of one that's in the spirit of Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies with the hockey mask and the chainsaw.
Careful.
Well, I know. I said in the spirit of...
Just some hockey masked guy with an axe.
Yeah, right. That's it, you know. But recently they've taken a little bit of a different spin on the line.
Right.
And they've been highlighting some bands. The first band that they chose to highlight was the Ramones. And this was a four bear set, came packaged together in a nice little box, came with a couple of little set pieces. I think they were like amps and some mics and stuff like that. And then the four bears were representative of the members of the band. They've recently begun production, I believe, on another set, which is going to be the Misfits.
Wow.
So
they are really capturing those licenses.
Hey, you know what? There are a lot of fans out there, especially
absolutely.
Punk fans.
Oh, no,
you know?
I'm totally. And as sarcastic as that may have sounded, I actually meant that they really are getting some product that people will enjoy.
Sure. And I mean, I love them. I'm a huge fan of them. I think they're great. You definitely could check out ToxicTeddies.com to see more of the line. You could see the Ramones bears that we have. You can also see, I think, some shots of the Misfits bears and what they're going to look like.
Do you know where you can see some of these? Fantastic's house.
Yeah, really?
Absolutely. Fantastic has a whole bunch of these.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember seeing him. Where does he keep them? On his desk somewhere?
Well, he
keeps... Next to the 80,000 computers and video game consoles?
And actually, no, what he keeps them on his toy shelf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Should we get into that?
If you want.
Let's see. I think Mr. Fantastic's collection on display, his display collection, he might have a separate collection elsewhere, but his display collection consists of like Street Fighter.
Right.
Some of the crappy Street Fighter, not the cool Street Fighter that comes from Soda.
Soda, right?
No, these would be the cheap early ones that they did. And Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. And Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow.
From Sigma 6, right?
And well, those two also. But okay. I think he's got some of the 3¾ inches as well of Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Did I mention he has Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow?
I think you happened to mention that.
And I think he has Star Wars Unleashed Darth Maul.
Nice.
Which is a nice piece. And maybe a Batman toy and, I don't know, a handful of other gay little shit.
Wow.
That's a pretty good summary.
That's an accurate summary.
Yeah, he hasn't caught he hasn't started using the smack that is toy collecting fully yet. But we'll get him there slowly but surely.
That's okay.
Slowly but surely.
All right, so let's move on.
All right. Well, since we were talking about bears and we were talking about toxic teddies, we might as well move right into Teddy Scares, which is another bear line.
Right.
This would be a plush bear line. Mm-hmm. You could check out their website. It's teddyscares.com. They've got a couple of different products out right now. They've got a series one of their line is out, which I think had 5 bears in it. My personal favorite would be Abnormal Cyrus and Edwin Morose. You could check out the site, our site, their site, to see pictures of that.
Those are the ones you like?
Yeah, those are the ones I really got into from Wave 1. There were some really good ones in Wave 2.
I like Redman Gore, the one with the axe and the hood over his head.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool one, too. In addition to the full scale bears, they've got mini bears as well.
Right.
They kind of it's the bigger bears in a smaller scale. They kind of come like a little backpack.
They're so they have a regular version that comes. They're about a foot tall, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have the mini.
Right.
Mini version, which is about 4 or 5 inches tall.
Correct.
Uh huh. Okay. Go on.
And they're getting ready to release later this year series 2. Of the bears, which is another, I think it's 5 or 6 bears. I think my favorite from that line would be Sheldon, who was he's kind of like a little creepy bear, and he's wearing a nightcap and a little night robe. And actually, if you've ever been to my site, you'll see he was actually in our contest this year for the top 10 coolest things that we saw at Toy Fair, which is a little thing we do each year. He was.
Oh, wow.
He did not place in the top 3. But he did pretty well. He held his own against some of the other stuff that was in there.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I really like Teddy Scares. I mean, I've been following them since the beginning. Again, this is another independent artisan type of situation where the guys over at Teddy Scares have taken their idea, you know, to make these kind of horrific teddy bears. I'm noticing a theme.
Yeah.
These concepts for these whacked out kind of toys and run with it. They get them produced. I know that these guys, especially at Teddy Scares, are very into their production value.
They are
very, very sticklers for great production value. And I know for a fact that the reason we've been waiting for Series 2 for a bit is because that they are a stickler for production value, and that really in turn ends up benefiting us as the collector, as the purchaser,
sure,
and the buyer. And I'm really excited for Wave 2. You know, we got to see them at Toy Fair, and you know I have to say, and I'm not going to speak for Matt here, but I think I am. Whenever we come across some of these artisans who are really out there doing their own thing, and I've reviewed a couple of them in my column who have done different things. I have to say that these are the guys who are really out there doing it. They're not producing a Marvel Legends,
right?
They're not producing the numbers that Superman movie toys,
right,
will produce. They are out there. They have their thing. They're doing their thing. And they're happy with their customer base as it is.
Sure.
And of course they'd like to expand their customer base, but it's more about their product, which is why you get, you know, 3, 4, 5 Teddy Scares in a line, and you can get them all, and you know, the production value is very high. You know, it really is refreshing that some of these independent companies are out there. I'm really rather happy about that. And speaking of which, another movement that has really happened that is really on the verge, I think it's really started to happen. I think they've started to cross over already more into the mainstream, is this vinyl fascination with vinyl toys. Now, what's unique about vinyl toys is not that they're made of vinyl.
Right.
Because there are a lot of toys that are made of vinyl.
Sure.
Pretty much any 12-inch rotoscope figure out there is pretty much made of vinyl. Mm-hmm. That would be anything coming from Toy Biz in 12-inch rotoscope. That, I think those are all vinyl.
Yeah.
That's the kind of material we're talking about. You know,
yeah, the Kotobukiya Star Wars pieces, right? Those are all vinyl.
I think they are all vinyl also. What you have now is you have, again, these independent artists and creators who are creating their own designs and producing them in vinyl.
Right.
And the one I'm looking at right now, Matt, I'm going to call it Shug.
Okay.
Because it's spelled S-U-G, and I thought sugar with no A-R, Shug.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Shug.
I'm going to call it Sug, but you could call it Shug.
I'm going to call it Shug, and I'm sure I'm going to get an email when some guy's going to be like, no, it's Sug or something.
Right.
I'd love to see how they do that in an email. But Sug's about a foot tall. Right. He's vinyl. It looks like a big person in some sort of environmental suit. It's got nice window packaging. He's kind of green camouflaged in color. And it's not really tied into anything.
Right.
He's got a little bag that holds a set of secret serum vials that will cure almost any ailment. Again, not really tied into anything. It's just something that this guy created. All over the box, they have pictures and they tell little elements of, I guess, Shug's story.
Right.
Something about his arm atrophy due to an injury. All these little things that I guess they just made up for this particular figure. He's really cute, though. It's this big giant suit looking thing. But in the head of the suit is just, you know, for lack of a better explanation, it's like you're looking at a little Pac-Man head.
Okay.
Or like just a little round ball head with little, just two little eyes. Like no nose or anything, and that's presumably his head.
Okay.
And it's just a little weird thing. It happens to be the example that I have at hand.
Right. It's kind of like the things from Princess Mononoke.
Right. It's kind of like that. But this is an independent artist who designed this, decided, you know, they were going to produce them. I understand that they've produced them in other colors as well, and so on. And that's a big thing with vinyl, too, is that they produce a single figure with many types of paint variants.
Right.
Ooh, it all goes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, we got to stay away from that, though.
And in Japan, this is huge.
Yes.
And it's only starting to happen over here now, where they create a character like a... Is that who created the bear brick? Is that the Kubrick people?
Yes, that's Kubrick.
Created a bear, and they create one, and then they create...
Just Mediacom, isn't it?
It might be Mediacom, yeah. They create one sort of... You know, you want to say they sculpt one.
Right.
And then they produce them in an infinite, well, not infinite, obviously, but in a variety of different color schemes.
Right.
And it's really something that's starting to catch on. I think as we go along, we're probably going to talk more about, I think we're going to have to talk more about vinyl pieces.
Sure.
And again, this is, again, on that line between being a piece of artwork and being a toy.
Right.
I mean, sure, you can play with this. Shug has two points of articulation in his shoulder, so he can move his arms.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess if you wanted to play with it, you certainly could. But again, it's that line between is, you know, this is a piece of art that's, you know, somebody's creation versus, you know, a Marvel Legends or a Batman toy that's intended for play. So I think that's where the independent movement is. What are you looking at?
Well, since we're talking about these creative lines and these lines that are really, right out of the minds of the creators. They're not really based on anything right. previous, comic books, movies, or anything like that. I want to talk about one of my favorite lines that I've really been following since they started, and this would be the Bleeding Edge Goths line. I am a huge fan of all of their products. They've got a couple of different lines out there. There's a 7-inch line, a 12-inch line.
Oh, I actually am a fan of one of their lines, aren't I?
Yeah, you're actually a fan of their plush line, which used to be called Kinder Goths.
Right.
But now it's being called Minor Misfits.
Minor Misfits.
For this new wave that's coming out later this year.
Okay.
So these are, well, the 7-inch line are, they're not really action figures. There's no real articulation in them. Occasionally they move at the hip or they move at the arms.
Right.
They're kind of like statues, not uh-huh. really vinyl figures, but they're kind of like mini statues.
Okay.
And they're all pretty much, they pretty much follow like the goth fashion trend. You know, it's a lot of like corsets and, you know, trench coats and fishnet, that kind of thing.
Black eyeliner.
Right. Black eyeliner.
Piercings.
Right. Right. That kind of thing. But there are a lot of creative twists on it. And again, these are all original. You know, they're not based on anything else other than their own creations.
Right.
And like I said, I've been a huge fan of them for a while now. Actually, for the past 2 years now, Bleeding Edge Goths has won on our website for the top 10 coolest things at Toy Fair. Last year, it was Malice in Wonderland was one of the figures. And this year, it was Jacqueline LeSpades won first. And another one, Delilah Blackheart, won second place. So...
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm at a loss.
So let me get this straight.
Right.
You're a big fan of these girly goth statues. That's what you're a fan of.
Right. And you're a fan of statues of guys in tights. So you tell me who's worse.
You.
Yeah.
Clearly you.
Oh, sorry.
Clearly you.
The only only bulge on these are not in their crotch, unlike your guys.
The fact that you get a bulge in your crotch from these is, I think, what the disturbing part
hey,
is.
Hey, I didn't say that.
You don't have to. I was there with you at Toy Fair.
Oh, were you?
You had to put your book bag in front of you.
Yeah, like an embarrassed kid in front of the classroom.
I'll take the zero.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, no, in all honesty, no, they are really nice. They're really nice pieces, you know. And if you're a goth.
Or if you're not.
Or if you want to be.
Right,
you should check out.
BEGoths.com.
Right.
Make sure you put the S on the end there because I've been to BEGoth.com and that's something very different.
BEGoths.com.
Correct.
Check out the plush line when you get there because I think that's really, for me, that's the shining star.
Sure. Well, some of my favorites from that line in the past, you'll see their Shock the Monkey, I think right. was yeah. I think
that was
two series back or right. last series.
That's a great piece.
And there was Garth Goyle, which was like a gargoyle looking piece, which is mm-hmm. really, really cool. And in this new line, there's a great piece coming out too. It's Gaston LeBou, I think his name is. He's kind of like a little ghost.
Right.
Really, all three lines. We really didn't mention much about the 12-inch line, but the 12-inch line is similar to the 7-inch line. They're more fashion dolls, real clothing, real hair, that kind of thing.
How many of those do you have?
Yes. I have almost all of them.
I see. Almost all the fashion dolls
That's
with
right.
the dresses and... Uh-huh. Go on. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So anyway... all three series are really great. They have a couple of other funny things out there, too, that they put out that you'll see on their website. They did a line called the Tubtastrophes.
Oh, those things were great.
And they went away. They went away. Like,
I don't
disappeared.
Know. We should definitely say something about Tubtastrophes, because that would be my second favorite product from this company.
Okay.
It's basically they created tub toys.
Right.
That they're just these horrific little tub toys. Like, one of them was...
Six-plack?
Yes, yeah, six-plack, which was six little duckies that had apparently gotten their neck caught in one of those can plastics that people always tell you to cut up so no one gets caught in them.
Yeah.
So they're all dead, and they're caught in them. It's a little plastic tub toy. It's hysterical. They also had one I don't remember the name of it, but it was like a mob informer guy who had his mouth tied and his hands are tied and his feet are in a bucket of cement. It's just like a little toy that you play with in the tub. Check those out of the website. Those are really great. I wish they would do more of those. Something else like
that. I was really surprised when they said this at this past Toy Fair that that they weren't doing more of those. But who knows? Maybe if there's enough of a calling from the fans for it, they'll consider it again.
Well, maybe.
So you should definitely go to begoths.com. Check them out.
Right.
And you should go to all of these websites, actually, that we discussed during this segment.
Let's just recap those. You can go to CryptKitties.com.
Uh-huh. Right. You can go to ToxicTeddies.com. There was TeddyScares.com.
Right.
Again, the Bleeding Edge website would be BEGoths.com. And what's the website for Shug Sug?
Yeah, and I didn't mention this earlier, Matt, but Shug's website, or the website you'll find Shug and pieces like Shug, some really quality vinyl stuff would be I think it's pronounced unclebrand.com, but it's spelled unklbrand.com. Is you can check out Shug and other products from that fine company.
Great.
So check out these websites and check out these independent products. If you see any of these independent pieces out there, something that seems like it's not in the mainstream, you know, drop us a line, let us know, and we'll check it out so we can pass the word on to everybody else. This vinyl movement is getting much bigger, as we said. I think, by and large, this independent toy or collectibles movement is getting much bigger.
Sure.
And I think we're going to see a lot. We saw way more of these at Toy Fair this year, even than we saw the year before.
It's true.
And more that year than the year before that. So it's definitely something that's definitely up and coming.
Definitely. I'm sure we're going to continue to see this trend, because people really do like these little, these unique figures and collectibles. They're really different from what we're used to seeing. They're really different from superheroes, and they're really different from little kid toys. They're really unique and individual, and it's really important that you support these companies.
And discover
sure
some new companies on your own.
Sure, definitely.
Uh-oh.
What?
I think that's Mr. Fantastic's calling card, isn't it? My teacup is empty, Mr. Fantastic. So let's take a break here so Fantastic can prepare more tea for me.
All right.
Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Whoa, slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry? Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com. Come and go there today.
all about love.
All right, that's got to stop.
Why? What's wrong with Barry White, besides that he's dead?
Right.
Barry White was an underrated performer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Did you like Barry White? Did you get that tingly feeling from Barry White?
I model my whole life after Barry
that
White.
That sounded nothing like Barry White. I thought that was your impression of a zombie.
Right.
Please.
That it? That what you have to add?
What are we talking about now?
Cancer. Why don't you chime in?
Wow.
Something I know a lot about.
That ain't right.
I don't care.
Who on the Enterprise has cancer?
There's another one of them at home.
Yeah.
We can get the other one.
We'll save that for Generations, next week's episode.
Now you're getting ahead. You're giving it away.
Sorry. I want to show more prepared.
I don't know. What are we doing now? Oh, right. Now I remember. Am I supposed to kick this off?
You are supposed to kick this off. It's your turn.
Well, Matt, we talked about the independent toy movement, mm-hmm. artisans creating their own.
Right.
Sort of toy lines and products and things that they create. And this is kind of in the same vein. What led me to this actually was the rumor or the fact now,
right,
that they are going to make another Star Trek movie.
Correct.
The yet untitled Star Trek feature, the 11th since 1979, is looking at a fall 2008 release.
Okay.
And it looks like they've tapped J.J. Abrams.
Wow.
Who is the guy who did, he's doing Mission Impossible 3 that's coming up. He's done, I think he was part of the whole Alias phenomenon on TV in some way.
Doesn't he have something to do with Lost also?
Yes, actually he produced Alias and Lost. And he also is part of the writing team, I guess, on both of those. This film will apparently cover the early years of Kirk and Spock, including their meeting at the Academy, at Starfleet Academy, and I guess their first adventure together or something like that, which to me seems a little odd. I thought that they hadn't met at the Academy, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm a Star Trek fan. I'm a Trekkie, right. But I'm not that big of a Trekkie that I can distinctly say whether that's true or not.
Right. Well, I know that there are some Trekkies that listen to this show, so I'm sure they will correct you.
Well, I thought maybe you would know.
No. No, I'm not a Trekkie.
Certainly you've watched Star Trek, Matt.
A couple episodes. Movie or two. About the extent of it.
What? Fantastic. Struggling to get to the microphone.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get past the mic.
Oh, jeez.
You haven't watched the original Star Trek series?
No.
Dude, turn in your card.
I don't want to turn it in.
Turn in your geek card.
I don't know. I'm holding on to it.
How can you not have watched a fundamental science fiction television show?
I told you, I've seen a couple of episodes here and there.
A couple of episodes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's like maybe I watched one of those Star Wars films.
All right. So?
How is it that you have gone this long? How long? I'm flabbergasted. How have we been friends for this long and you haven't seen Star Trek?
I've managed to escape it, apparently, until I think right about now.
Wow. Well, my friend, you were in for a long, hot summer.
Right.
Of Shatner-esque proportions.
Look, I never said that I wouldn't give it a try. I just never was a huge fan of it. I was more a fan of the sci-fi drama type series.
Oh, right. Star Trek, no drama. Go on. Try to worm your way out of that one.
Wait, yeah, but Star Trek was a bit more technical. I was a fan of stuff like
what?
Farscape, Babylon 5. A lot less technical than Star Trek.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Oh, my God. Please start your letter writing right now. Start it right now. Go to the home site, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, and inundate the box with mail. to Matt about how stupid what he just said was. Are you kidding me? Star Trek is a technical show? Technical.
I don't know. That's always the feeling I kind of have.
Kirk gets the green chick in every episode, but it's a technical show.
I don't know. That's kind of the feeling
I don't know is the answer of a person who has not seen any Star Trek. You're lying, aren't you?
I've seen a couple of episodes.
I don't believe you.
I couldn't name them or tell you what happened in them.
I don't believe you.
I think Mr. Fantastic has something to
say. I believe him.
See?
Look at his face.
See?
But I want to say,
of course you believe him.
I want to say, Matt, even I've seen Star Trek and I hate everything.
Right. So I'm just saying.
I'm stunned.
I never really watched it.
I don't know
that
I can go on with this segment.
Well, you have to. This is important news.
Well, Matt. You will certainly enjoy the original series of Star Trek.
I'm sure that I will.
And believe me, if I have to tie you in a chair and prop your eyes open a la
Clockwork Orange,
you will see that entire series this summer.
Okay. All
okay.
Right.
That being said, mm-hmm. some fans
right.
have gone out and they've started making webisodes.
Really?
Yes. These would be Star Trek episodes that appear only on the web.
Okay.
And it's called Star Trek The New Voyages, and it features Kirk, Spock, McCoy, all the characters that you know.
Okay.
And what they did is started out as a little, you know, let's build a Star Trek set so we can play Star Trek.
Right.
You know how some of these fans, these really, really rabid Star Trek people, they go really crazy for the stuff. Check out the films Trekkies and Trekkies 2
right.
For more on that. And these guys have apparently become really, really popular over at Star Trek New Voyages.
All right. Now, are these actually licensed by Paramount, or does Paramount have anything to do with it
Now, here's the thing with that. Here's the thing. Paramount mm-hmm. has no problem whatsoever with this, as
I'm
long
sure.
as they're not making a dime.
Right.
They're fine with them doing it as long as they're not doing it, but as long as they're not making any money. But the guys who are doing it aren't doing it to make money. They're doing it because they really are great fans and they want to tell more stories about Kirk Spock from that original series,
right.
sort of take on the story.
Okay.
Well, now here it comes.
Uh-oh.
Now they've become so popular that the last series that was actually on TV, the last Star Trek series, Star Trek Enterprise... Mm-hmm. was averaging under 1 million viewers per week.
Wow.
At the end of the season, which is unheard of, really, for a Star Trek series.
Sure.
The second episode of Star Trek The New Voyages, the webisode, had over 1 million downloads the first night it was on the web.
Wow, that's impressive.
So you have a web series that is outdoing... the TV series with high-end production and so on. And these are guys, I've checked it out. They're not terrible. I mean, they're pretty good. Sure. And they're getting better, I think. But moreover, because if it wasn't strange enough, you now have actors from the original series.
Really?
Who are coming over to play characters.
Oh. Like anyone in particular, or
actually, it looks like Walter Koenig, who played the original Chekhov,
okay,
has reprised his role as Chekhov for a New Voyages episode.
Wow,
which is kind of strange. I don't think I've seen that one yet. Maybe that one's not quite done yet. But it looks like they just got George Takei, who will reprise his role of Sulu.
That guy'll do anything, won't he?
On one of these upcoming New Voyages episodes. And apparently the story's really great. Sulu somehow spends 30 years in a time warp on this savage planet. And 30 years, but you know, it's one of those things where only like a second goes by, but it's really 30 years for Sulu on a planet.
Right.
Well, I mean, I could try to explain it to you, Matt, except that you don't have any concept of what I'm saying because you've not watched the show.
Right.
I can't believe you've never watched Star Trek. I just can't.
Not never, just not religiously, not a ton of it.
Anyway, you want to check out newvoyages.com.
Okay.
And you want to check out, again, these independent people who are taking something that they love and they're running with it. They're creating it. They're putting it out there for people to see, which I think is a very bold move.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that some of the original participants in this particular exercise or this particular franchise are actually helping out and coming back and performing. There's, I think, some writers and other things, people who are helping to contribute to the New Voyages as well. You want to check that out. You want to discover it for yourself.
Right.
If you didn't know about it before.
Sure.
Which would, of course, make it undiscovered.
Ooh.
See how it ties in?
I do. I see how it ties in. So, something else we wanted to talk about, something we kind of stumbled upon that...
it's kind of in the same vein, really.
Yeah, it's been out there for a while. And I think it's been out there for a while, but we probably just stumbled upon it recently.
Right.
This is a short, independent... I don't know if you want to call it a film?
Fan film.
I guess it's a fan film.
I would say fan film.
It's Ryan versus Dorkman. Is what it's called. And the website, if you want to check it out on your own, would be ryanversusdorkman.com.
Is it the word versus spelled out?
It's VS. So RyanVsDorkman.com.
Right.
What this is a Star Wars fan film, I guess. And it's
You've seen Star Wars?
I have seen Star Wars.
All of them?
All of them. Animated series, read most of the books.
Okay, go ahead.
This is very different from a lot of the other fan films that you'll see out there, or that I've seen out there. A lot of the other fan films are, they take characters from within the Star Wars universe and they have them, you know, interacting in some way, and it always ends in some sort of epic lightsaber battle because, right. You know, we all know
lightsaber battles are cool.
That's it. Lightsaber battles are cool. Well, this one doesn't. It doesn't take any pre-existing Star Wars characters. It actually really doesn't take place within the Star Wars universe. These guys are really in their plain street,
regular street
modern clothes,
right.
You know, t-shirts and jeans.
Uh-huh.
And they are having a lightsaber battle of epic proportions.
One of the best ones, one of the best choreographed lightsaber fights I have ever seen.
I think it's, out of all the fan films I've seen, it is the best fan film lightsaber battle that's out there.
And there's no dialogue.
No dialogue.
It just starts off there in some sort of, looks like some sort of warehouse, mm-hmm. where some sort of things are being stored.
A hangar or something along those lines.
And they just, you know, they look at each other. They know that that's what they're here to do. And they start what is one of the best choreographed and best filmed lightsaber duels I have ever seen.
They haven't mimicked choreography from the movie. It's all original choreography.
Right.
And it just looks amazing. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the death sequence is fantastically done. And a couple of the other little tricks that they do, using the force to control the lightsabers and activate the lightsabers, it's really, really impressive.
Right.
And you definitely should go check it out. It's RyanVsDorkman.com.
We got to get those guys. We got to get those guys to talk about that because it looks like they're trying to... do a sequel to that.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to raise some funds to get the second one off the ground. So,
I think it was location fees.
Oh, is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I think the first one they were able to shoot in a location that they were able to do for free, and I guess either that location or another location that they want to do one in apparently is not available.
Okay.
Or they have to pay for it, I guess.
So you should check it out, and if you like it and you like what you see and you want to see another one, then, you know, maybe... You drop them a buck or two.
Fantastic. Write this down. We gotta get those guys on here.
Yeah, definitely.
We gotta find out what they're all about. I mean, it's fantastic choreography.
It really is.
And effects, which we really haven't mentioned, but the effects in both of these shows are really good quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, pretty much today, anybody with a Mac can do a lightsaber effect. I think I'm right about that. Fantastic.
I don't even think you need a Mac anymore. As long as you have Photoshop, you can do it.
Really?
Yeah. As long as you have a PC and you have Photoshop, you can do lightsaber
effects. Let's ask the expert. Fantastic.
In this case, they used After Effects.
Right.
But yeah, all you need is Photoshop.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And so that's great. And the effects that they use on New Voyage is also very impressive, considering the fact that they have, you know, what amounts to really no budget.
Right.
I mean, it's really well done.
Sure, sure.
A lot of work goes into it. It's just rotoscoping each frame, drawing over the blades, pretty much to add in that glow effect and some sparks and things like that.
And they also have the sounds are dead on. And
yes.
They have a lot of that. Really very impressive. Very impressive piece of film. So check that out at RyanVsDorkman.com. Also check out NewVoyages.com for some independently made Star Trek episodes focusing on Kirk, Spock, and McCoy in the original series vein.
Okay.
And yeah, that's really good stuff.
Great. So I guess we're going to get right into the wrap-up then for this week's episode.
Okay.
So we'll go right into what we discussed in our first segment, which would have been Jedi Spidey, the image that's floating around online now.
I hope to God that that image is disproved as a Photoshop maneuver and that you have to eat it.
You threw it away, didn't you? Yep. I don't have to eat anything.
Oh, you not actually eat it, you ass.
So you saw it. It's black. You think it's real?
I don't know. I'm still holding out hope that it's a bad Photoshop prank or that Sam Raimi is pulling a fast one on all of us.
It looks just like the blue and red costume in black. I would think that if they were going to do the black costume, they would at least make it a little more sleek, maybe remove those lines, but I could be wrong.
Well, I mean...
Oh, whoa, slow down. I think fantastic. Coming down on my side of the fence on this one.
He definitely is.
Way to go.
Hey, look.
I hope you don't die of cancer.
I'm not necessarily taking one side or the other. I'm just presenting
liar.
What's out there.
You're a liar.
I secretly want it to be the black costume.
Thank you. Then don't say you're not taking a side.
Well, I'm not even secretly. I do want it to be the black costume.
Not
but I'm
secretly
not
anymore.
But I'm not saying whether or not that image is actually real or not.
I hope that it's a Photoshopped image.
What's clear is that it's non-organic.
Right.
It's not alive, whatever it is.
Right.
Right. But if you remember, Matt said that in the Ultimate storyline, Ultimate Spider-Man Venom is not actually a symbiote, is not actually an organic suit. It's actually created to...
It's not an alien suit, but I think it is still organic in some way, shape, or form. So, fantastic. Right again.
Wow.
Twice. Anyway, we also talked about the upcoming Transformers film and who's tied to that so far. Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay being tied on as the producers and some of the cast members. I think it was Michael Clark Duncan, Shia LaBeouf, John Turturro, and a little bit of that. We talked about Jason Lee voicing Underdog in the upcoming Underdog movie. That will go into production sometime later this year, most likely. And on May 11th, if you check out the last episode of That 70s Show, you'll be able to see a 7-minute trailer to X-Men 3, which will open about in theaters about 2 weeks later.
We also talked about upcoming this Saturday, May the 6th, is Free Comic Book Day. Free comic books. That's just an idea that I can get behind.
Sure.
So you want to head to your local comic retailer who... by and large, is probably participating in this event, and you can get some free comics. You can check out some stuff. You can bring down some friends,
sure,
who maybe don't read comics, and you can then get a few. Maybe something will catch.
Yeah, and a lot of stores they do a couple of special events for this day. So you really should give your local store a call, find out what their schedule's like, and what's going on.
I think our local store is doing Punch and Pie.
Ooh.
I think.
I'm showing up and telling Dave I want Punch and Pie.
Our local store, Punch and Pie. Find out what your local store is doing for Free Comic Book Day besides giving out free comic books. And these are specially prepared for Free Comic Book Day. So
correct.
These aren't like your regular issues.
Right.
I also wanted to bring to everyone's attention The book Revere, which is kind of an alternate story, an alternate telling, a reimagining of the Paul Revere mythos from the American Revolution, where he's actually fighting some supernatural beings, werewolves and some sort of zombie-looking creatures.
Paul
as well.
And the werewolf.
Sorry?
Is it Paul and the werewolf?
It's called Revere, and the art's fantastic. It looks to me like the story is pretty good as well, so everybody should check that out. I wonder what Revolutionary War comic with a strange twist that I will promote next week, because I don't think there is any more. I think the two that I've, the Black Coat, which I mentioned last week, and Revere is, I think that might cover the whole genre that's available now. Fantastic
comic. You think that they could really do something with George Washington, though? People could really get behind that.
Let me tell you something, and this is gonna, and this is going to take some doing. So, at some point after this, I will find this, and I will, and I will put the image on the home site. There was a book years ago. I can't remember what it was. Whether it was a,
was it like Penthouse or
comics
something
or something like that?
Yeah.
They did a fake ad. You know, like a joke ad for a book called The Founding Fathers. It was pretty much, it was Washington, Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and Aaron Burr. And they were like in modern times, and, you know, like Washington was the leader. I can't remember what it said. It was something like Washington was the leader, Jefferson was the, maybe he was the lover or something. And Ben Franklin was the tech guy, and Burr. Burr was just plain crazy. It was so great, and it was done by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, who is one of my favorite artists. And I hoped and prayed that they would actually do this book, and only to find out, of course, that it was just a joke ad.
Right.
But it looked so funny. I will find the image of that.
Okay.
Ad, and I will scan it, and I will put it on the home site for everybody to check out, because that's some funny stuff.
That is. That
speaking
pretty...
of Revolutionary War-themed things.
Right.
Maybe they'll move on maybe into Civil War-themed.
Marvel's already doing that.
They are? Oh, no. I meant the real Civil War, not that awful Marvel Civil... Ugh.
Right.
Civil... Ugh.
Be like Power Man versus Captain America or something like that.
Abe Lincoln could really kick some ass, I think.
There you go.
He actually kicked ass in an episode of Star Trek.
Did he? Oh, I must not have seen that one.
I missed that one as well, but...
Anyway, moving along, the next thing we touched upon this week would be the independent
touched.
Toy movement.
Touched. We fully fondled the independent toy movement.
So this week we fully fondled, groped, and molested the independent toy movement. We talked about a couple of different lines that are out there right now. We hit upon the Crypt Kitties, right? What was their website, Kev?
CryptKitties.com. CryptKitties.com.
Right. And then we also touched upon the Toxic Teddies. We touched upon the Teddy Scares. Oh, Toxic Teddies. ToxicTeddies.com. We talked about Teddy Scares, which is TeddyScares.com. We talked about Bleeding Edge Goths, which is BEGoths.com. And what was Sug? Shug?
I'm saying Shug, and Shug is Sug. From UNKLBrand.com.
Right.
Great vinyl movement. What are you waving at me for?
Because I don't know. I wanted you to start the last bit so that you can lambast me a little bit more on Star Trek.
Finally, we wanted to give two examples of what we're considering the independent fan film, TV, science fiction geek movement.
Right.
And we've chosen New Voyages, mm-hmm. Star Trek New Voyages, which is some fans who've created some Star Trek sets and are now filming their own webisodes. Which you can check out at newvoyages.com, featuring Kirk and Spock and McCoy from kind of the original series time era.
Right.
And some of the original Trek creators and original cast members are starting to get involved with that over there, which is really kind of an interesting thing.
Right, right. Sure. And then we moved right into Ryan versus Dorkman, which we both agree
fantastic
is probably the best fan film choreographed lightsaber fight that we've seen.
Yeah, it's great.
And you definitely should check that out. It's Ryan versus Dorkman .com. And, you know, drop him a line. Help him out for making the second one if you can.
Ryan versus Dorkman, baby.
They have $230. They want to get to $5,000.
Ooh, wow, they're close.
Well, fantastic. Make sure you write this down for things that I want you to do this week is, you know, for whenever you solve our phone problem so we can actually start having guests on the show.
Oh.
I think we should have these guys on.
I thought you were going to tell them to make a donation of like $4,700 and something dollars
in his own name out of his own pocket.
Yeah, to get them up to $5,000.
I think cancer treatments cost about $5,000.
Do they?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, you know, you better stop doing that. He's gonna attack you eventually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, gonna be a little fight between Fantastic and you, Kev.
Really? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do, Fantastic?
The cancer was a problem last week. Two words for you. Healing factor.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
Wolverine. Oh, my God. You know, when you try and be a geek, Fantastic, it's so cliche and awful that it makes me want to vomit. I just have to say that.
You want to talk about cliche? Take a look at the Simpsons comic book guy and then Big Kev 2 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, really, Fantastic? Oh, really? Is that it? I'm cliche because I'm like the comic book guy? Well, who's more cliche? Me looking like the comic book guy or you, the second-rate producer of a third-rate podcast?
Yeah? Well, you have no father.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Dark in the city and the night is a wire. Steam in the subway and the earth is a fire. So give me a sign. I'll do my Eden just a moment. Dehyde. Oh yeah.